repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few is Steve Kolesheski. Well, you know, if you've been watching VFN TV, we've been talking about how you can get involved, how we can get involved together, and some of the things that we're seeing happening all across the world. Because as Christians, God lays on our heart, we see with eyes of compassion, and we want to be involved to help people. We're God's people, and we want to be able to reach them. And I want to talk to you today, we want to just hear this awesome story of Matthew Van Dyke, a man who was in the military, a veteran, if you will, who formed an organization called Sons of Liberty International. And you know what he's doing? He is helping Iraqi Christians. He's training them to be able to defend themselves against the attack of ISIS. I love this story because this is just another believer, another person who's saying, I can do something. God's given me talents. He's given me wisdom. He's given me resources. And I live in one of the most prosperous nations of the world. And I serve God. I can do something. I want you to see what Matthew Van Dyke has done to help our brothers and sisters in Iraq. Watch this.
ISIS continues to threaten Iraq's Christian community. In the absence of international aid, some individuals are taking it upon themselves to help them. Recently, I spoke with Matthew Van Dyke of Sons of Liberty International. He's in northern Iraq, helping train Christian militia to defend their communities. What led you to start Sons of Liberty International?
Well, I had a lot of experience in the region, spent many years here, including in Iraq. And after the deaths of my friends, James Foley and Stephen Sotloff, who were beheaded by ISIS, I decided to take what I had learned over here and the contacts I had and put them together to see what we could do for the Christian community to help them fight ISIS.
Tell us about these fighters you are training. Who are they? Where are they from?
Well, we've trained a battalion of around 330 fighters of the Nineveh Plains Protection Unit. They're Christian fighters. They're from northern Iraq, north of Mosul. And Mosul and an area called Karakulsh. It's a largely Christian area. They're very brave, very determined. They've lost a lot, though. You know, the Christian population in Iraq has gone from around 1.3 million in 2003 to 300,000 or less now, and they're really fighting for the future of Christianity in Iraq.
What part, Matthew, does your Christian faith play in motivating and encouraging you to do what you do?
Well, this is something that you know, I have gotten more comfortable speaking about, but to me, religion became a very personal thing that got me through when I was a prisoner in Libya. Like, I was in solitary confinement for nearly 6 months. I had nobody to talk to except for God. The only thing that got me through that every day was prayer. I was stuck in a room, literally staring at a wall for half of a year with just conversations with God. So that really grew my faith. And I see the faith, that same level of determination and that same reliance on God in the eyes of every Christian here in Iraq that's struggling to survive against the face of these just brutal terrorists. They've kidnapped Christian women, sold them into sexual slavery, forced them to be jihadi brides, slaughtered Christians, taken over their homes, destroyed monuments and churches of Christianity that have been here since the first few centuries of the faith. We haven't seen this level of Christian persecution in many centuries. You have attacks happening in Pakistan, twice now in Libya, Nigeria with Boko Haram, and here in Iraq and elsewhere. It seems to be accelerating. It's happening all over the world. And Christians need to stand up and defend the faith and defend their own people here before it's too late. We're seeing Christian populations being wiped out, driven out, and abused at the hands of usually Islamic extremists all around the world now.
Matthew Van Dyke is the founder of Sons of Liberty International, speaking to us via Skype from northern Iraq. Matthew, thank you so much for all you're doing. Please keep safe And our prayers and thoughts continue to be with those believers, not just in Iraq, but across a large swath of the Middle East, suffering for their faith. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Matthew Van Dyke, for what you're doing to help the Christians in Iraq. How awesome is that? Sons of Liberty International, an organization that is helping our Iraqi brothers and sisters to defend themselves from ISIS. And I think about the area of Karakush, where he just talked about where they were helping them. That's the same place, the same area in Iraq, where we brought to you the story of Miriam, the young little girl that was, her and her family and the rest of the Christian community there, they were forced to leave that area because of ISIS, and how there was an interview with her where she had no resentment in her heart. Listen, this is the wonderful work that we could be doing and all of our different gifts and talents that we have and our resources to help those that are in need. When we get back from this break, we're going to discuss this more with Steve, a former Marine who actually helped to be in Iraq and do his due diligence to serve our country and to help the people of Iraq. And we're going to hear from his perspective what he has to say all about this more when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was wrong. This is John Fuller with a Focus on the Family Minute. And while admitting your faults can be difficult, it's really humbling when you have to apologize to your own child. But Tricia Goyer suggests that's how your toddler learns.
You know, even with the two-year-old, there'll be times I'll be so frustrated and mommy's trying to get this done right now, and just stop and say, wait, what's more important? And bending down to her little eye level and say, I'm sorry mommy was grumpy, you know, and then when she's grumpy later, I can say, remember how mommy said she was sorry when she was grumpy? Now you need to say sorry to mommy because you're grumpy. But I think, again, it goes back to being a leader.
That's an important reminder from Tricia, and I'll admit I've had plenty of opportunities personally to model that kind of remorse and apologize to my child. Try it for yourself, and eventually you'll start to see your child follow your lead. Now you'll find more trusted advice at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're just talking about Matthew Van Dyke and the Sons of Liberty International and what they were able are accomplishing right now in Iraq. You may not be aware of this, but Matthew basically used his own money, $12,000, to start this organization. And basically what you want to do is, he says the Christian community in Iraq has been pushed for far too long, Steve, and he wants to help them to defend themselves from ISIS. And when you think about that, you know, yes, it's great that, you know, someone started this organization as an and is empowering them, but you got to think about what type of void was there from, let's say, our government, our military, that there was a need for him to arise in this organization. I mean, why would we allow the Christians from Karakush to be able to be pushed out that way? Why didn't we help out? I know that you, Steve, two tours of duty. Talk to us about your experience, you know, in the military and what this means to you when you see someone start an organization like that to help now, you know, Christians.
Yeah, I just think that's a huge empowerment of just how he just takes that open stance of just seeing one of the things that I was just reading. He says the Christian community in Iraq has been pushed around for a long time and it needs to stop. He says, I have the right connections and the experience to be able to pull something together. So that's what I'm doing. And I just think about, he's just like, I'm trained. I know what to do. I know how to do it. I know how to defend myself. So he's like, he sees this void. And what blows me away is how he says entire Christian communities since basically the first generation of the faith are being wiped out. And when you go over to Iraq, like what you're saying in regards to my background, when I was trained in the Marine Corps, I was part of reconnaissance. And what that means is basically everything from sniper operations in my team to observation, negotiations, being able to just talk with tribal head leaders, find out what's going on, identify enemy activity, identify who are the high value targets and remove them, capture them. That's what we did. And be able to go in, but not only remove enemies or but to empower people that are being oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel a myriad of emotions being able to just think about what he is seeing, but not only that, how grateful the people are who are our brothers and sisters in Iraq.
Yes.
And this is something that God has just even been revealing to me in my own. It's just like, in our culture in America, as soon as we hear the name Iraq, immediately we have this mindset of, you know, just what's in the news. And I will tell you that what is happening on the ground is not the full, or like what you're seeing on the news is not the full story.
You were there.
And exactly. And it's just like, I hear so many stories of people of having, you know, their brother got into a car accident, so they flew from Seattle to Florida so that they could be alongside of him at his bedside in the hospital or whatever. But they're in response because it's their brother, it's their sister, it's their mother. And it's like, we are Christians. That is our brother. That is our sister. We need to get outside of that mindset of, oh, that's Iraq. That's what I see on this channel news. It's like, No. That's family. And to see how Matthew is just taking what he has and saying, I have to help them.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, someone will say, well, how do I get there and what do I do? Well, listen, you can travel freely. I mean, you can get on a plane. It will require that you maybe have to deny yourself. I mean, he invested $12,000 of his own money into this organization. But you can. I mean, the thing is that oftentimes we don't allow these ideas to basically enter our mind because it would rattle or shake up our present way of living. It'll cause us to live differently and do with less. But we can do it. Yeah. I mean, in the eyes of God, that's something that's real beautiful. And it doesn't necessarily have to be what Matthew has done with his organization, but it could be differently. You have one life to live. How you spend it and how you invest it in the things of God and in other people's lives will pay huge dividends, not only in this life, but believe me, in the life to come. And so we want to always be looking for opportunities and ways how our life can have eternal significance. Because at the end of the day, all that matters is really, you know, God's kingdom, eternity, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You want to hear those words. Yeah. And you can do that by evaluating today what you can do. I want to talk, Steve, about what is happening in Israel in terms of CUFI. CUFI is Christians United for Israel. I know that they have an event that's coming up, but Steve, I know you were talking to me about this, and I think this is exciting. This is a ministry organization that John Hagee founded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pastor John Hagee, he actually founded this. It was actually just about 10 years ago, and CUFI, if you're not familiar with it, it's called Christians United for Israel, and currently they're actually the largest Christian organization that stands in agreement with Israel, and what they have done, the amount of prayer, the amount of support, the organizations, the people that have come together and just exercise their support of the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is just outstanding.
This is important because a lot of people don't know, like, you know, what are they? What do they do? And how can they support Israel?
Yeah.
Well, they've been doing this for 10 years now. I want you to watch this. I want you to watch what they've been able to accomplish over the 10-year period of time. Watch.
We are Christians United for Israel. Christians United for Israel again in February 2006 with 400 evangelical leaders in San Antonio. Today, we are the largest pro-Israel organization in America.
Christians United for Israel, known as CUFI, brought a group of 50 pastors and Christian leaders from every state in the nation and the District of Columbia to Israel.
Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for coming. That's what they say everywhere. It's just amazing.
To come and simply tell to the people of Israel, we support you, we understand you, there are still people in America who can distinguish morally between Israel and Hamas, and there are still people in America who appreciate what Israel's doing, not just to protect their own citizens, but we believe deeply when Israel battles Hamas, they're also protecting us in America.
We're praying for the safety
of the Palestinian people, the regular citizens. But we are praying that this nation will be wise enough to defend herself.
Palestinians are like the Native Americans, you know, before they were crushed.
Here's the point. The people, the terrorists in that area, they continue to represent those people. They continue to get attacks sent on those people in that area because they keep attacking.
Kufi has been such a blessing in every other aspect of my life. I really felt like God kept bringing it into my life and laying it on my heart. I'm a college student. I can't give all of my resources, but I can give my voice, I can give my hands, and I can give my feet to do the will and the purpose that I'm called to do.
I applaud Pastor Hagee for this great initiative of creating this new organization, Christian United for Israel.
To have this kind of support within the Christian community is of incalculable value.
This is a fight between what is right and what is wrong.
And God's people have made our choice. We will stand with Israel.
I know the support that Israel has in your congregations. I know what you do in Washington and what you're doing there is very important.
We are in a global conflict with a force which wants to destroy us.
I'm here to thank you for making me feel that I am not alone.
To my fellow Jews, these are our best friends in the world.
As Christians United for Israel, we're spreading the truth. We're 4.5 years old and we have grown to be the largest pro-Israel organization in the world.
I come to you as your brother Joseph, brother in the things that are most important.
We have an historic alliance with the United States. As Pastor Hagee said, Ani Yisraeli, I am an Israeli, I say, Kulanu Israeli. We are all Israelis.
God is reminding us of our past to remind us of our future.
Israel, historically, is the land of the Jews.
Well, we live in interesting times. We live in challenging times. And you being in Washington makes a difference.
Just like Israel, our students are strong. Our students are of good courage, and we are not afraid. We fight back because it is incumbent upon us to reform and reshape the conversation about Israel on our college campuses.
God's word doesn't change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We stand with Israel.
When God created this earth, he chose his people. And he said, those of us who will bless them, he will bless. And those who curse them, he will curse.
Both the United States and Israel, I think, share powerful cultural similarities and overlapping values, not to mention incredibly overlapping interests.
Pastor Hagee, together with his beloved wife, Diana, his Esh Yischiel, his woman of valor, has demonstrated time and again his unswerving loyalty, sacrifice, and devotion to the Jewish people and to the people of Israel.
As I look around the audience today, I understand why America is the greatest nation ever assembled on the face of God's green earth.
Christians and Jews are spiritual brothers. Our roots are Jewish. If a line has to be drawn, draw that line around Christians and Jews, because we are united and we are one in the Spirit of God.
amazing. Amazing. I'm so honored to see that work accomplished and what they're able to do. And I love what John Hickey said. If a line has to be drawn, indeed draw it around the Christians and the Jews. The Jews are our brothers, they are our sisters, and we stand vocally, publicly, prayerfully, financially, in every way with our Jewish brothers and sisters. And we're one in the same. We are together. Talk to us about a coming event and how our audience can participate.
Yeah. July 13th and 14th, in these 10 years that they have been coming together, every year annually, they have their summit at Washington, D.C. As you had seen that video, senators, representatives, congressmen, leaders in their respective industries have come together to express their support and what is happening. And there's an upcoming event in just a few months, like I said, July 13th and 14th. We're going to have all the information as far as how to register, directions, where to go, how to get to it. And it's their annual summit at Washington, D.C.
We'll make sure that's related. My understanding is Elie Wiesel, Holocaust survivor, will be there. What a treat. You definitely want to hear everything he has to say. And we'll make sure all those links are related for you. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order, and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN-TV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors, thank you to our partners, and God bless.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Remember, you can always stay in connection with us at VFNTV.com, and you can always sign up for the Torch newsletter. It's a great way for you to receive the best of the best of VFNTV directly in your email every week. Again, go to VFNTV.com, go into the upper right-hand corner, and you'll fill out the prompts, and you can begin to start getting the Torch newsletter every week. I want to talk about, Steve, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And I've just been kind of carrying that a lot here lately, just simply because I've just been in awe of all the things that the Lord has personally, you know, blessed me with. I've said this before, you know, and I say this humbly. I just say that, you know, God doesn't have to do another thing, you know, for me. I want to be able to do the best that I can to live a life of thank you to him. And I've just been caught up in just how good God is. Mm-hmm. You know, we can get so distracted by all the shiny objects, and we have a lot of them in America. There's a lot of shiny objects that will get us to focus on insignificant things or just things that don't matter. And before you know it, we're failing to live in the awe of God, of just we've taken things for granted, if you will. And we just got to sit back and say, God, you know, you're amazing. And I want to live a life of gratitude and express my appreciation, thankfulness for all that you've done. It's amazing. The scriptures say, enter his courts with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And it's a great way to start your prayer time with God, because typically what I have found, and I think others have found, is as you express gratitude and appreciation and thanksgiving to the Lord, this overwhelming sense of just faith and just love and adoration just kind of swells your heart, and it just kind of overflows into just giving him praise and praying for other people and other things and seeing his kingdom expand, because we're just so appreciative of him and what he's done. And so it causes me to think about how we can be a good steward, if you will, a good manager of the life that God has given us. When you think about life, everyone is born with nothing. You just, you know, naked you come into the world and naked you go out. But throughout life, you will have different things that the Lord will allow for you to possess, things that will go through your hands, if you will. And although we're not responsible for everything, we are responsible for the things that God entrusts to us. I mean, we have the ability to learn, to ask questions, to observe, take notes, and God gives it within us. He gives us the ability to be able to exercise our own will. We have the ability to choose, and we make all kinds of decisions every day. And we need to be able to look at and saying, what are the decisions am I making? How is this affecting me, my family, my church, you know, God, the kingdom, other people? And I think for many, Steve, they're sitting on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're waiting to kind of get in the game. You know, life is passing by, things are happening, and it's like, well, you know, one day I'm going to get involved. One day I'm going to do something. And they'll be thinking about it, but they're just kind of waiting to get in the game. Then you have other people that they're not just waiting. They're just watching it. They're content to just sit back and just see play after play and score point and watch other people do it. They're not in it, but they enjoy watching other people do it. And then there's some people that don't even know a game is even being played at all. And the weird thing at all, that this is not a game. This is for real. This is not a movie. It's called life. Then there's those who are actually in the game. They're actually engaged in this thing called life. And it's not passing them by. They're actually going through it. They're living not on accident, but they're living on purpose. They're not arriving to a destination by happenstance, but they're arriving to a destination because they've sought God for vision. They sought God for perspective. They prayerfully are working with God, if you will, navigating through the circumstances and the trials and the pitfalls so that they can live this life for God's glory. Because I think about eternity, and I think about when we all stand before God. I think that, you know, it's many things that kind of cross my mind, but you know, you're not going to have anything to stand behind. You know what I mean? You're not going to, it's just going to be you alone before God. And the only thing that you're going to be able to bring him is a life of worship. Like, what did we do with our life? Like, we're bringing to him a life of worship. And I want it to be something that's good, mm-hmm. you know? And oftentimes, I have had this conversation with people. I was an intern at a chaplain at LSU Medical Center. So I've had the opportunity to be at many deathbeds, unfortunately, and to pray with people as they are slipping, you know, from this life. And I've had a chance to pray with many, many, many. And what I found out is that during this process, people really only have two regrets. They one is that I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And Steve, they say, I wish I would have known God because I'm getting ready to meet him. Mm-hmm. And I've had the opportunity to lead many of those people to the Lord at that time as well, which has been, you know, really amazing, you know, thing. But if we would take ownership and recognize early on that, you know, God's given us this amazing mm-hmm. life, and he wants us to be able to be a good manager of life. We can manage ourselves personally with God's right guidance and direction. We have a family that we could help lead and guide and teach and instruct and be an example to. Maybe God's given us a ministry. And if you're a Christian, by the way, you're in the ministry. God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, everything that we do, ministry means servant. That's all it means. We can all serve and do something for God. So you're in the ministry. And our possessions, what are we doing with them? But in terms of our life, we can look at six key areas, and maybe there's more, but we're going to look at six key areas that we can focus in our stewardship or in our management. And the reason why we want to do this is so that, obviously, that we can give God greater glory, mm-hmm. right? He has appointed us, right, to bear fruit mm-hmm. and fruit that will remain. And
much fruit.
Much fruit, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those areas is physically, is an area that I need to grow in, you know, in many ways. But I need to, and I think for a lot of us, you know, how we take care of ourselves physically, mm-hmm. you know, God's given us a body mm-hmm. that we need to function and live on this earth. And if we don't take care of that body, if we're not a good steward.
It's the only one you get.
You only get two sets of eyes, yep. you know. If we don't eat properly and do the physical diet, and this is an area that I need growth in, mm-hmm. you know, for sure. But it's causing me to realize, you know, if we take care of these things today, then we can actually live longer, not for the sake of living longer, because a lot of people want to live longer, and I'm like, for what, you know? Mm-hmm. But live longer so that we can maybe have more of an impact, right? But if we take care of ourselves physically, we can be in really good health
yeah.
and not spend a great amount of our time just trying to take care of sicknesses and diseases and stuff that could have been avoided mm-hmm. because we didn't take time to really learn and put in the effort to take care of ourselves.
Yeah. You know, I've heard it said before that we spend our youth trying to get money, and then we spend our money trying to keep our health.
Wow.
As we're getting older. And it's just like, why not just spend our lives on God? And it's just like everything that we do is just like, I remember somebody once said to me, just what I had said is like, this is the only body you get.
Yeah.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
And take that time. It's like, if you see someone that's, you know, has the wisdom of, hey, what did you learn in life? And I remember meeting a gentleman who's probably in his 80s. He said, take care of your knees because you'll miss them when they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you don't think about those things.
Pat knows that.
I think he might, yeah. And it's just like, these are the things that you just might not necessarily think of. And it's just like, how can I take care of myself now so that I have more time to give to the Lord?
Absolutely. So another one is emotionally. You know, are we invested in taking care of ourselves, that we have healthy emotions, that our disposition is not one of gloom and doom and of sadness,
wow.
but that we're emotionally, healthily sound, and that we're going through life with joy, not, you know, a survival type of, you know, mentality. Our emotions are not unstable and like a roller coaster, but they're steady mm-hmm. because, you know, we're walking with God continually. We have relationship. We're communing. We're dialoguing with him. Another one is relationally. our ability to relate to others, friends, family, coworkers, strangers, the person who's the cashier when you pay for your gas, being able to talk with other people and build those mm-hmm. relationships. Certainly you can't build relationships with everybody, but there are key people in your life as you navigate through work, and like I said, your neighbors and different folks like that, that you kind of cross paths with. If we become good stewards of relationship, then we will actually benefit from mm-hmm. that. You know, there's nothing more sad, I think. I mean, actually, there's a lot of things sad, but this is a sad thing, that I've been to people's funerals where they've lived 80, 85 plus years, and there's no one to be a pallbearer. They didn't invest
to carry their casket.
Relationship, right. Yeah, with other people, and you couldn't find six people outside of family that could carry their casket when they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this life is not meant to be lived alone, but we can actually have wonderful relationship with other people, and that is, you know, mutually edifying, and that we together can do something for God and for humanity and for other people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about that, and it's just like how often that we can have those surface conversations, those surface relationships with people in your daily life, whether in the workplace, you're walking somewhere, and it's just like, hey, how are you? Hey, how's it going? And it never goes back to, it never goes deeper than what your name is or the weather or yeah. this weekend or Friday. And it's like, don't miss those cherishable moments to be able to have a relationship with. I mean, you think about it, there's 7 billion people on the planet.
You have Facebook, you have social yeah. media, go find a friend.
But I'm saying the fact that the people that God has placed next to you,
sure,
your neighbor, your yes. coworker, the person that sits at the desk next to you, the person that has the locker next to you, it's just like, ask them how they're doing. Tell them how your day
Say
is.
Say hello, smile, yeah. Yeah. smile.
And you'd be amazed what happens.
Yeah. It's really, you're missing out so much when, because here's the thing, so many people are just, you get in the car, race to work, and race back, and you know, have the windows rolled up, and they don't take just a moment to say hello to a stranger, to have a casual conversation, and we miss that. And the thing is that if we're not used to talking, as Christians, as believers, if we're not used to striking up conversation with people that we don't know, yeah. how are we going to be able to introduce them to God? I mean, you know what I mean?
The
how
one
are we
that
looking?
We do know, yeah.
Because we should be looking for those divine opportunities, those subtle moments where God will give us an impression on our heart to say something to that person or to comment here because God wants us to maybe say something to them.
Yeah.
And it just changes our whole dynamic, because what we're talking about right now is how we can become good managers, stewards of our life, so that at the end of our life, we don't look back and say, what happened?
Right.
But we can say that with God's help, you know, and trusting in the Lord in great humility, we tried to live a life that was pleasing, that was honorable to God. We've talked about physically, emotionally, relationally, and this other one, for lack of a better word, intellectually, and meaning that we took time to learn. We took time to actually read. Well, doesn't mean that you're a rocket scientist or that you're super smart, but it means that we engaged ourselves in learning and expanding and wanting to actually read, you know, yeah. to find out more. And that's important because with all the technology that's available to us, we actually talked about this on the program, where many people think that their intelligence is somehow connected to Google, that they think they know more than what they actually know because mm-hmm. they can actually search it on their phone real quick. But if they didn't have the ability to pick up their phone and search Google or pull out their laptop, they wouldn't know any information. And so, again, back to what God's given us, we have an amazing brain.
Yeah.
God's gifted us with the ability to understand and to learn new concepts. But if we don't exercise, and I tell my children, you got to exercise that thing. You got to use that because God gave that to you. And again, we're using it for His glory. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue this conversation with two more areas that we can focus in our life where we can give God more glory and we can become better managers and stewards of what God has entrusted to us. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our friend, the one that we just was sharing about, I don't want to call him up by name right now, but you know, he notices a small, tiny creature. I can't even say rodent. Let's just
it was
say
a roach.
Insect.
It was a roach.
A little roach. A
little tiny thing.
A little tiny thing. And I just hear this pitch, this high pitch. I go, wait, what happened here? What?
A high pitch.
Yeah, it was just a squeal.
It was pretty high.
Ear piercing.
So the Mets, they got this new pitcher, like a high pitch. Like, is that where we're going?
We're bringing this back here. And he says, look, there is a bug in here.
There's a difference between a bug and a roach.
And I said, well, get rid of it. He said, I'm not touching that. I said, Steve, what do you mean you're not touching that? I'm expecting you to eat it because you're a Marine.
You are a
Marine. I'm expecting you to eat it. You know, like, impress me, like, you know? He said, this is fiber. This is what we ate out there in the combat zone. But fellas?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about how we can be good managers, good stewards of our lives. And we've been talking about some key focus areas that we could focus more on. And I feel challenged that physically, emotionally, relationally, intellectually, and the fifth one, Steve, professionally. You know, unless you're, you know, super rich, I guess, you still got to work. I mean, people, you have to work. And that's, when we speak professionally, we're talking about growing in your profession. Whatever your job or whatever your career is, you know, we need to be good stewards in the fact that, you know, some people just go to work and work a job and they don't want to learn anything extra, or they want to invest in any kind of new skills, or even, you know, brush up on some talents. They just kind of want to do enough. And I'll tell you that as a believer, we want to do our best. We want to be able to learn as much as we can. We want to be able to grow professionally as much as we can. But why? I mean, there's always a big reason. It's not so that we can get bigger and better things for ourselves or even glory for ourselves. It's so that we can be positioned in a place where we can have greater influence for God and the kingdom. And so as you excel in your profession, whatever that may be, God's going to give you a platform. God's going to give you access. He's going to give you influence. And as he does that, then we use that access to give him more glory. Mm. And, you know, I think about the talents. I think about, you know, what did we do with the talents? Did we bury them, or did we invest them so that when the master came back, we'd actually have a return on his investment? And you think about it, God's given us everything that we need. He's positioned us. He's blessed us. He's provided for us so many ways. And there's going to be an expectation for a return on the investment. And we don't want to disappoint him. Yeah. We want to be able to say, here, this is what I've done. And he's going to know because he empowered you. But this is what we were able to do for your glory.
You know, and I think about that and all the things that you're saying. You know, you look at, I think it's in Corinthians where he says that we're going to stand before him. You know, like you're saying, we're not going to be able to stand behind anything and say, well, because of this, it's just like, no, everything that we have, everything that we did, we're going to have to answer for that. And one of the things that the Lord said to me in my abiding times that I've always kept with me, he says, live out your days before the judgment seat of Christ. Mm. You know, we were just talking about Jonathan Edwards. You know, how did that go?
Jonathan Edwards says, I resolve never to do anything which I would be ashamed to do if it was the last hour of my life.
And, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That, to me, it's just like, that brings so many areas of my own where it's like, wow, God, I was like, I got you. I got to go back to the drawing board. It's like, okay, there's some areas I need to work on. But, you know, that's what keeps us humble. That's what keeps us at the cross and say, okay, God, you've given me this. You've revealed this to me and trusted this to me. I need your grace to be able to walk it out that glorifies you.
Sure.
What is the purpose that you brought this into my life?
Yeah. And the thing is, too, is that if you look at these key areas, these focus points, if you will, why we're doing them makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you can follow them and become a great manager for yourself in the terms of, you know, your physical health, your emotionally, relationally, intellectually, professionally for yourself, or you can do this on behalf of the Lord. What I mean by that is that you can give God more glory. You're excelling and progressing because you want to be a good manager of what God has allowed you to have. I mean, people say, well, you know, I wish I had better relationships. Well, God's given you a family. He's given you friends. He's given you neighbors. Are you investing in them? Are you treating them well? Are you loving on them? Because oftentimes we're going to get what we put into, you know, any particular area. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we'll get more if we invest and do it in faith and in love. But the most important one I want to talk about is spiritually. Spiritually, we've talked to me because it makes sense. You're probably saying, yeah, I'm probably going to do something physically. And I'm like, yeah, I can relate to you. You know, I can probably work on my emotions. And yeah, relationally, I'm just kind of sticking to myself. No, everything that you're saying making sense. Well, if that makes sense, how much more does our spiritual relationship make sense? Our relationship with God. And I think that that's an area that sometimes we can really take for granted, especially if we've given our lives to the Lord some time ago. It's like, well, I'm already saved. I've already prayed. Well, it's a relationship. It's not like, you know, it's like the guy who got married and told his wife he loved her one time. He's like, I already told you I loved you 20 years ago when I married you. Like,
if it changes, I'll let you know.
Yeah, if it changes, I'll let you know. And it's like, no, God's called us to be in a relationship with him. And there's ways that we can grow on our journey. You know, we grow in prayer, we grow in our obedience, we grow in our love for God, and our love for God, we grow in our love for others. And as we're engaged in this process, in this journey of building a relationship with the Lord, learning of his ways, we grow. Mm-hmm. We grow, and what happens is that we actually begin to start moving in the direction that God leads us in, and the things that burden his heart actually become our burdens. And so God's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us Jesus, his son. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's given us the word of God. He's given us those that live in America, a free country where it is still today legal to be a Christian. And we have the freedom of speech that we can share the gospel. We have been blessed and equipped. Even the Bible tells us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, we've been afforded all these opportunities. And so we need to be able to invest them in them. And I just keep hearing over and over again in my spirit, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And you can do that. You can begin today to say, you know, I want to evaluate my life. You got me thinking here, and I need to be able to be a good manager. Maybe some of the reasons why things are just not going the way you expected them to go, or they've kind of fallen apart, or you got kind of stuck in a rut, if you will, is because maybe you've let go of the wheel. You stopped managing. You stopped seeking God for direction and wisdom and guidance. Listen, you can avoid that. You can change that. It's called repentance. It's called, you know what, acknowledging it before God and saying, God, I've done my own way. I've just been living half-heartedly, not like I'm going to see you one day. And you can ask him to forgive you, and he'll forgive you of your sins, and you can begin to make a change. You can say, God, for whatever life I have left on this earth, I want to live it to the fullest, and I want to live it for your glory. Listen, as we close out today in our program, we want to pray for you. We want to pray that God will just move on your life. Father, Lord, we just thank you, God, for this amazing opportunity, Lord, called life. Lord, you've given us breath, Lord. You've blessed us with every single blessing we could imagine. Help us to seize the moment, God. Help us not to waste days and months and years of our life, not paying attention to what you've freely made available. Help us to seize the moment, Lord, where we can walk in true intimacy with you, God, and that we can obey your word and we can do what you've called us to do. This life is but a vapor, and we'll spend eternity with you. Help us to avoid tomorrow's regrets today by walking this life out with you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
and find out more about it.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. You know, I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I mean, I'm just, you know, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.